Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something a bit different, a unique mission, you could say. Yeah, instead of tackling, piles of reports, we're focusing forensically on just one sentence, eight words.
Eight words.
About the U.S. housing market. The idea is to really squeeze every drop of insight out of this incredibly concise statement.
Right, an exercise in distillation.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes sense. Sometimes the shortest statements pack the most punch because they're so concentrated. They represent a lot of synthesized data.
Exactly. So the sentence is, luxury home sales slowed in major markets across the United States.
Okay. Luxury home sales slowed in major markets across the United States.
Got it. Eight words. And, if you're trying to read the tea leaves on, say, financial elite sentiment, high net worth individuals, that sentence feels vital.
It really is.
Yeah.
The reason a single fact like this matters so much is that the luxury housing market, well, it dances to a different beat than the regular market. Completely different. It's often seen as a critical leading indicator. It reflects how large, very fluid pools of capital are moving or not moving.
Okay.
And when that movement changes, slows down, like the sentence says, it can signal shifts long before they hit the, the broader economy or job numbers. We're basically trying to read the minds of the wealthiest investors here.
Just from these eight words.
Just from these eight words.
All right, let's dive in. The first couple of words, luxury home. What exactly are we talking about? How is that defined here? And why does that definition matter so much for you listening?
Good place to start. Luxury here isn't about fancy kitchens or infinity pools necessarily. It's strictly about price.
Price point?
Yeah, price segmentation. Generally, we're talking the top tier, maybe the top 5%, sometimes the top 10% of home prices in a specific area and why it matters. It's all about who the buyer is.
Right. So not the typical home buyer worried about the Fed and mortgage rates. Clearly, not usually. The drivers are fundamentally different. Your average buyer, they're looking at mortgage rates, job security, credit scores.
Sure.
The luxury buyer, though, often they're using cash or leveraging other assets, like taking loans against their stock portfolio.
Mm.
So those standard mortgage rate swings, they feel them much, much less.
Okay. Less rate sensitive.
Yeah.
But obviously still sensitive to something if sales are slowing. So if it's not the 30-year fixed rate, what is making them pause?
It boils down to confidence and capital preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Their decisions are tuned into the big picture, the macro stuff, like long-term stock market outlooks, geopolitical stability, potential tax changes, how capital is flowing globally. Think about it, a big policy shift overseas or sudden currency swings.
Yeah.
That can hit the brakes hard on high-end sales in places like Miami or New York because international buyers are such a huge part of that market. Their buying power or tax situation changes overnight. Hmm, that makes sense. So this slowdown isn't about everyday consumers struggling with credit. It's reflecting caution, maybe uncertainty, among those holding significant investment capital.
That's precisely the key takeaway. A luxury slowdown points to a behavioral shift right at the top. It signals they perceive conditions aren't quite right for big, illiquid investments like high-end real estate.
Okay, now this is where the wording gets really interesting, I think. The report says sales slowed. It doesn't say stopped or crashed or collapsed. That feels like a very deliberate choice of word.
Absolutely deliberate. Slog implies deceleration, not disaster.
Right, not a cliff edge.
No. If sales stopped, we'd be thinking financial crisis, some major external shock. Slowed suggests something more like a controlled cooling, restraint. Mm-hmm. Buyers who have the luxury, literally, of waiting.
Okay, so how does that slowing actually look in the market? What does it mean practically?
Well, we can usually see it in about three main ways, often all happening at once.
Let's hear them.
First, pretty straightforward.
Mm.
Reduced transaction volume. Fewer deals are actually closing compared to, say, last quarter or last year.
Okay, so less churn.
Second, properties are taking longer to sell. Time on market increases. A luxury home that might have flown off the shelf in 30 days during a hot market. Now it might sit for 90 days, 120 days, maybe longer.
Sellers aren't necessarily dropping prices yet, but buyers aren't rushing.
Exactly. Sellers might be holding firm, but that urgency from buyers just isn't there. And the third way, which often gets missed, is decelerated price appreciation. This is crucial.
Meaning prices are still going up, just slower.
Right. Or maybe they've just flattened out. Or even dip slightly, perhaps seasonally. A home might still be worth more than last year, but instead of jumping 15%, it only went up, say, 3%.
And for sellers used to those big, fast gains, that probably feels very different, almost like a stall.
Psychologically, it can feel like a major shift. It definitely changes the power dynamic back towards the buyer, the cautious buyer.
So the velocity of money in that top tier has decreased. Buyer patience is up. It feels like they're holding back, waiting. But waiting for what? Is it definitely about waiting for housing market clarity? Or could slowed mean they've just pivoted, shifted focus to other investments entirely?
That's a really critical question to ask. It might not just be hitting pause. It could absolutely be reallocation.
Okay.
If these buyers sense upcoming risk in real estate, maybe they predict a dip, or political uncertainty makes holding illiquid assets feel dangerous, they might move that capital.
Into what, potentially?
Oh, maybe specialized private equity, maybe high-yield short-term bonds, perhaps commodities, assets that offer maybe better liquidity or what they see as better risk-adjusted returns right now.
So their action isn't just about houses. It's about how houses stack up against everything else they could invest in.
Exactly. They're running a complex calculation, and the current answer seems to be, hold on, we'll put the money somewhere more flexible for now. Mm-hmm. They want to avoid getting stuck if things get choppy.
Avoiding the risk of illiquidity. Makes sense. Okay, let's talk geography. The source specifically says major markets across the United States. Why is that geographic spread so important? If it was just one city, we could maybe point to local factors, right?
Precisely. This is only happening in, say, San Francisco. You might blame a tech downturn or local regulations.
Or just Miami. Maybe it's shifts in Latin American investment.
Exactly. But major markets implies the big hubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York finance, LA entertainment, international money, Miami global wealth magnet. Maybe San Francisco tech and venture capital. These are diverse economic centers.
And they don't all move in perfect sync, usually.
Not at all. They have different drivers. The fact that multiple major markets with these different economic engines are all seeing a luxury slowdown, that strongly suggests the cause isn't local.
It's something bigger, systemic.
Yes. It has to be powerful enough to affect the East Coast finance world and the West Coast tech scene at the same time.
So connecting the dots. It implies the slowdown is driven by a nationwide sentiment, maybe even global capital flows, kind of overriding local conditions.
That's the strong implication.
Yeah.
Whatever is causing this caution, maybe it's sustained inflation worries, maybe signals from central banks, maybe just a general pulling back from risk. It's happening at a national or even global level.
So for you, the listener, the takeaway is that this isn't some niche issue in one city. It's a broad systemic signal about the economic mood.
A very clear signal. It shows that skepticism among the wealthiest players is now pretty widespread across the U.S.
Okay, so let's pull it all together. We've looked at the slowed aspect, the caution. We've identified the who, the high net worth buyers of luxury homes, and the where, major markets across the country. Based only on those eight words, what's the synthesized conclusion?
The conclusion, just from the sentence itself, is that we have confirmation of a definite, synchronized shift in investment behavior at the very top of the U.S. economic ladder.
Synchronized and geographically diverse.
Right. It's a powerful sign that for those who control and move large amounts of capital, the calculation for investing in high-end, illiquid real estate has changed. They're collectively pulling back and doing it in key locations simultaneously.
And why is that knowledge valuable? You mentioned it's a leading indicator.
Yes, because historically, the behavior of capital in the luxury segment often gives us a heads up.
Mm-hmm.
If they perceive risk and pull back now, what does that suggest for the wider market, say, 6 or 12 months down the line?
Mm-hmm.
It means we should be watching closely. When this market slows, it signals a major rethink on risk. These are sophisticated players. Their caution often comes before broader economic adjustments are felt.
So slower movement of big money eventually affects other investments.
It tends to trickle down. It can impact broader investment trends, commercial real estate decisions, and yeah, eventually even hiring and the general labor market. They might be seeing clouds on the horizon that the average person hasn't quite focused on yet.
It really is amazing how much insight you can pull from just eight words if you take the time to define every piece. We've basically diagnosed a national shift in sentiment at the highest level without needing a single complex chart.
That's the essence of a deep dive, right? Distilling information down to real knowledge. But maybe one final thought for you to chew on.
Okay.
If this slowdown is about high net worth individuals reducing exposure to illiquid real estate because of perceived risk.
Yeah.
Where is that money going instead?
Ah, the reallocation question again.
Exactly. What specific alternatives are benefiting? Are they piling into short-term government debt? Is there more money flowing into specialized private credit, maybe commodities? Where that capital lands next? that's the ripple effect likely to shape things going forward.
A great question. The luxury market isn't just about houses. It's about tracking the flow of smart money. Excellent. Thanks for diving into this with us.
My pleasure. Always fascinating.